Good morning. Thank you all for having me here with you all. I'm usually found in the 8:30 service with Jeff in the early first Sunday every month. But in the last 9 years that I have been part of Highland Park United Methodist Church and Cox Chapel, this has been where I've grown up in life and in my ministry calling. And so today I thank you for the opportunity to be here with you all. And as I thanked Jeff earlier, I felt like he was letting me take out the family car by being up here in his place for this occasion. So thank you all very much. Today in the scripture, I can't remember a scripture that I reflected on so much for so long before I got to preach it and still felt like I had not yet begun to crack all of the dense and rich teaching that it holds for us. But I think today's scripture from the prologue to the Gospel of John, it also, in 18 verses, does an extraordinary job of summing up so much of what we hold in our beliefs as Christians about who Christ is, who we are called into being through him, on the humanity of Christ, the divinity of Christ, and the essential nature of Christ, the vitality of Christ that we constantly have to seek to find through all of our daily distractions and the things that can take us and put our minds in so many other places. I was thinking a lot about how in 2013, we have probably more distractions now than ever, and we will have more every year. And while these things are a great gift of technology and creativity that God has endowed some with, we're constantly having to remember to stop and center ourselves on Christ. You know, this week, so much of what's been on people's minds has been happening down at Fair Park, and it came to a good end for Texas, so that was good, and the rain held off. And that was something that brought people together. I saw yesterday on the morning news, they showed a group of guys and ladies who were Texas fans and Oklahoma fans that were hanging out tailgating together, brought together. And it was an amazing thing because you heard these people talk about what it meant to them. Well, we have all of these things. For some people, it's football. You know, so many things that can take our attention, though. Football, our Facebook, Twitter, our iPhones, our iPads. That was how I spent my free time between services today. I was just catching up on things, reading through my phone, which who would have thought that was possible when I was a little kid. But it is. And we have all of these distractions. And that through all of these things, we always have to remember to turn back that time to Christ, the essential. And so as I thought about this scripture, what I really thought, well, I could speak to this scripture and it could go on for days because there's so much there. But to just focus on how do we stay centered on Christ, the Word? How do we stay in the light that we are called into with Christ amidst all of these distractions? We have to do a lot of sifting. We have to do a lot of intentional choosing to focus, turning away from keeping up with the Kardashians or MSNBC, Fox News, or Real Housewives, or so many other things that we could watch over and over on a constant loop, dissecting the latest failures and successes on the field for the Cowboys. We're going to send up good thoughts for them today that there will be successes, not failures, by the way. And so how do we look through this fog of distraction? How do we sift through all of what is around us in the rapid cycle of media where we learn things and hear things right up to the second in real time? And the very question, it reminds me of a song lyric by the band U2 on their 1997 album. One of the songs begins with the lyrics, "Looking for to save my soul. I'm looking in the places where no flowers grow. looking for to fill that God-shaped hole. And later in the second verse, the singer professes that he's looking for the baby Jesus under the trash. And I think this line is at the very heart of our challenge to focus on the essential Christ in the modern era with so many distractions, is that we do have to lift up a lot of refuse. That was what the singer talked about in an interview. He said, well, he felt like there was so many things going on, and this was written in the late 90s. We have even more, you know, communication technology now, of course, but he said there was so many things, ideas and communication streaming around him all the time, that he felt like he had to lift away these things to get to look at where Christ was around him. And so that in this world that needs a tremendous amount of Christ every second, how can we ourselves lift away those things that distract us? And as we continue to wrestle with this, we can also think not only about where are we distracted away from Christ, the Word that John talks about in these verses, that was and is with God, but we can also talk about in our own lives, in our own troubles, in our own blessed lives, where do we see the Word, the Christ that is and was and will be with God. When calamities big and small happen, bad things have happened, and yet there are always people responding, bringing love and servanthood. And in today's gospel, as we discuss the divinity, the humanity, and the essential nature of Jesus Christ, these are all the things that we reflect on through the scripture. That in the beginning, he dwelled with God and later was made flesh in the incarnation. And the scripture makes it plain to us that Christ was always with God from the beginning of time through all time as we know it. Now, in John Wesley's explanatory notes on the New Testament, the author gave us some understanding on this text that he shared in his writing. He got down to what was at the heart of John's prologue to the gospel. He looked at verse 4 and he talked about that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And here Wesley was illuminating a very important message, that Jesus, the Word, was the foundation of life to every living thing, as well as of being to all that is. And Wesley elaborated further to say, as he wrote, that he who is essential life and the giver of life to all that liveth was also the light of men, the fountain of wisdom, holiness, and happiness to man in his original state. And as we reflect on the meaning of this, we can realize that Jesus Christ, as the Word, is life everlasting that we desire covenant with through our faith and baptism, and also that the Word is also the fabric of our existence. And as I reflected further on this over the past few weeks, I remember John Wesley, a man of great holiness, literary acumen, in an Oxford-educated sense and skill and mastery of word power. Then in all of my studies across the parking lot at Perkins at SMU, I never read him as one who didn't say exactly what he thought, that he didn't deliberately use every word and punctuation exactly as he had it writ. And so I began to think more about the phrase he used, referring to the Word as being essential life. And I went to the dictionary, and Merriam-Webster dictionary lists some synonyms that I just kind of looked at, and I stared at the page for a while and just reflected on these. Critical, imperative, indispensable, vital, and of the essence. And I thought, well, all of these things describe Christ to me and to Christ believers. And so then this made me turn it around on myself and question, am I viewing Christ in this way often enough? Am I treating Christ as critical in my life, imperative, indispensable, vital, Am I treating Christ as essential in my own walk, or am I losing the battle to the fog that distracts attention away and diverts attention from our heart and mind for Christ? So as we continue to seek Christ through eyes that are bombarded with rapid-fire imagery, communications, media, and solicitations, we also have to see Christ despite all those and see where we do find Christ to be closer than we think. In Raymond E. Brown's Introduction to the New Testament, the author explains how John interprets Christ in his prologue, that John views Christ as a divine being, God's Word, who is also the light and God's only Son, come into the world and becomes flesh, although rejected by his own, that he empowers all who do accept him to become God's children so that they share in God's fullness, a gift reflecting God's enduring love that outdoes the living gift of the law through Moses. So if we think about the idea that Christ empowers all who accept him to become God's children, to become God's children, well, that makes it clear what we stand to gain. That makes the benefit of it very clear to us. We can share in God's fullness through Christ the Word. Here we can recall the Wesleyan emphasis of Jesus as essential life and the light unto all persons to lead them from darkness. Amidst all the oversaturation of our minds is Christ the source of life. Even today, as I continue to learn from clergy friends and mentors here in the church and across our annual conference, I see that we all face this common struggle. Every one of us, clergy, laity, every Christ believer, that every one of us must find our own individual ways to silence the noise around us, to lift away the things of distraction, and to be still so that God may be heard in our lives. And this, we know, is essential. As we go forth today, let us continue to be prayerful and reflective about all of this. What John offers us in the prologue to his gospel is that the prologue itself is invitation. If we will give our minds and hearts to Christ, we can live in the gift of God's fullness. Let us remember Christ the Word. We can remember the invitation from Christ is our invitation to dwell in the light that gives all life. And as we reflect on these verses, let's also not forget a very important detail, a very important obligation they place on us. In verse 7, we see that John the Baptizer's role was to come and bear witness to the light. John, an ordinary guy from humble roots, had a vital role to serve. And this is also our role. We too, ordinary people as we are called to be the witness to the light. In this role as human beings, Christ believers and servants, we achieve something extraordinary for Christ the Word and source of all light. This week, as we make our way around our beloved city, how can we bear witness to the light? How can we bless each other today, even before we walk out of worship? It could be as simple as an extra warm smile as we sing our closing benediction that a neighbor really needed. We have that power. You all have that power. Christ has given us all the power to love and to serve one another by bearing witness to Christ the Word, the true light of the world. May you be blessed as you bear witness, and may you be blessed as you receive the witness of your fellow Christ believers this week. Amen.